They sat close to the small fire in the centre of the hut, for the nights were still chill. They feasted on thick steaks cut from the long black strips of the eland, and kebabs of kidney, liver, and fat grilled over the coals. The rich juices greased Buckut's chin. When Jim sat back with a sigh of contentment, Louisa poured a mug of coffee for him. He nodded his thanks. "Won't you take some?" he invited. But she shook her head. "I do not like it." This was untrue. She had developed a taste for it while she lived in Huis-Brabant, but she knew how rare and expensive it was. She had seen how he treasured the small bag of beans, which would not last much longer. Her gratitude towards him as her saviour and protector was so strong that she did not want to deprive him of something that gave him so much pleasure. "It's harsh and bitter," she explained. She went back to her place on the opposite side of the fire and watched the men's faces in the firelight as they talked. She did not understand what they were saying, for the language was strange, but the sound was melodious and lulling. She was drowsy and well-fed, and had not felt as safe and contented since she had left Amsterdam. "I gave your message to Klib, your father," Buckut told Jim. This was the first time they had mentioned the subject uppermost in both their minds. It was callow and ill-mannered to speak of important matters until the right moment for serious discussion. "What was his reply?" Jim demanded anxiously. "He told me to greet you in his name and in the name of your mother. He said that although you would leave a hole in their hearts that would never be filled, you must not return to Highweald. He said that the fat soldier from the castle would wait for your return with the patience of a crocodile buried in the mud of their waterhole." Jim nodded sadly. He had known what the consequences must be from the moment he had decided he must rescue the girl. Yet now that he heard his father confirm it, the enormity of his exile from the colony weighed like a stone. He was truly an outcast. In the firelight, Louisa saw his expression, and instinctively she knew she was the cause of his grief. She looked down into the wavering flames, and her guilt was a knife under her ribs. "What else did they say?" Jim asked softly. "He said that the pain of parting from his only son would be too great to bear unless he could hold you in his eye once more before you go." Jim opened his mouth to speak, then closed it again. Buckut went on. "He knows that you intend to follow the robbers' road northwards into the wilderness. He said that you will not be able to survive with such meagre stores as you were able to take with you. He intends to bring you more. He said that would be your inheritance." "How is that possible? I cannot go to him, and he cannot come to me. The risk is too great." "He has already sent Bomfu, your uncle Dorian, and Mansur, with two wagons laden with sacks of sand and chests filled with stones along the West Coast Road. This will draw Kayser away so that your father can come to meet you at an arranged place. He will have with him other wagons carrying his parting gifts to you." "Where is the place of meeting?" Jim asked. He felt a deep sense of relief and excitement that he might see his father. He had thought they were parted for ever. "He cannot come here to Majuba. The road through the mountains is too steep and treacherous for wagons to pass." "No, he will not come here." "Where then?" Jim asked. "Do you remember 2 years ago when we travelled together to the frontiers of the colony?" Jim nodded. "We went through the mountains by the secret pass of the Kharib River." "Oh, yes, I remember." That journey had been the adventure of Jim's life. "Klibby will take the wagons out through that pass and meet you on the edge of the unknown lands by the kopi shaped like the head of a baboon." "Yes, that was where we hunted and killed the old Gemsbok bull. It was the last camp before we returned to the colony." The disappointment he had felt when they had turned back came to him vividly. "I wanted to go on to the next horizon and the next until I reached the last." Buckut laughed. "You were always an impatient boy, and you still are. But your father will meet you at the hill of the baboon's head. Can you find it without me to lead you, Samoyo?" He mocked Jim lightly, but for once he could not draw him. "Your father will only leave Highweald when he is sure that Kayser is following Bomfu and Mansur, and when I have returned with your reply. Tell my father I will meet him there. Bakat stood up and reached for his quiver and bow. You cannot leave yet, Jim told him. It is still dark, and you have not rested since you left High Weald. I have the stars to guide me. Bakat went to the door of the hut, and Klebe told me to return at once. We will meet again at the hill of the baboon's head. He crossed to the door of the hut and smiled back at Jim. Until that day, go in peace, Samoya. Keep Welanga beside you always, for it seems to me that although she is young, she will grow to be a fine woman, like your own mother. Then he was gone into the night.